Topic 14, Aura. 1. I would recall to your minds the knowledge that the aura which each of you has created around the central nucleus of your incarnated self or soul is a fragment of the overshadowing soul which brought you into manifestation. This aura is, as you well know, composed of the emanations of the etheric body, and this in its turn embodies three types of energy which you are individually responsible for. These three types are, when added to the energy of prana, which composes the etheric vehicles, 1. The health aura. This is essentially physical. 2. The astral aura, which is usually by far the most dominant factor, extensive and controlling. 3. The mental aura, which is in most cases relatively small, but which develops rapidly once the disciple takes his own development consciously in hand, or once the polarization of the personality is upon the mental plane. The time will eventually come when the mental aura will obliterate, if I may use such an inadequate term, the emotional or astral aura, and then the soul quality of love will create a substitute so that the needed sensitivity does not entirely disappear, but is of a higher and far more acute nature. In this threefold aura, or more correctly fourfold if you count the etheric vehicle, every individual lives and moves and has his being. It is this living, vital aura which is the recording agent of all impressions, both subjective and objective. It is this agent of sensitive response which the indwelling self has to control and use in order to register impression or to direct etheric or mental impression out of the world of men. Astral impression is purely selfish and individual, and though it may affect a man's surroundings, is not directed, as are the other energies, registered. It is the aura which predominantly creates the effects which a person has upon his associates. It is not primarily his words which produce reactions, even though they are supposed to embody his reactions and his thinking, but which are, in reality, usually expressions of his emotional desires. All of us, therefore, carry around with us a subjective mechanism which is a true and perfect picture of our peculiar point in evolution. It is the aura which a master watches, and this is a factor of major importance in the life of a disciple. The light of the soul within the aura and the condition of the various aspects of the aura indicate whether or not the disciple is nearing the path of discipleship. As the emotional reactions lessen, and as the mental apparatus clarifies, the progress of the aspirant can be exactly noted. I would have you distinguish carefully between the astral and the mental bodies, and that which they emanate. The bodies, so-called, are substantial in nature. The aura is essentially radiatory and extends from each substantial vehicle in every direction. This is a point which should be most carefully noted. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, pages 97 through 98. 2. These centers, or their vibrations, are in reality what creates or constitutes the so-called aura of the human being, even though that aura is frequently confused with the health aura. Instead of the word frequently, I had almost said usually, because that would be more definitely correct. It is the etheric body which indicates and conditions the aura. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, page 173. 3. The sphere of radiation, aura, is easily determined by those who seek it out and who watch the effect of the radiation upon people in their community and environment. One highly emotional person, working through an overdeveloped and uncontrolled solar plexus center, can wreck a home or an institution. I give this as an illustration. One radiant, creative life consciously using the heart or the throat centers, can carry inspiration to hundreds. These are points well worth careful consideration. You must, however, bear in mind that these centers are brought into activity by the cultivation of certain major virtues and not by meditation or concentration upon the centers. They are brought automatically into the needed radiatory condition by right living, high thinking, and loving activity. These virtues may seem to you dull and uninteresting, but they are most potent and scientifically effective in bringing the centers into the desired radiatory activity. When the task is done, and when all the centers are living spheres of outgoing radiatory activity, they swing into each other's orbit so that the initiate becomes a center of living light and not a composite of seven radiant centers. Think on this. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, page 175. 4. Forget not that as you look out upon the world and your immediate environment, that you look out through your aura, and have therefore to deal with glamour and illusion. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 35. 5. I have watched you succeed, and I have seen you fail. This I do through noting the pulsation of your light, not in watching the detail of your daily living. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 98. See also Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, pages 752 through 753.